Father, I pray that as we look at your word this morning, we'll be inspired and challenged to take up our calling, to answer your plans for this place, this church, this people, and this town. Amen. I'm going to hope I can speak up so that those at the back can hear me this morning. And we're going through in August the themes that are attached to the four initiatives of our Vision Day back in April. And we're going to be looking today at the idea of the building initiative. And you've already had the others throughout August. This is the last one, and we're going to be looking at buildings. And so we're looking at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, really beginning at verse 5. And what it centers on, us building together, as being built up together. And I want to take us through what Paul has to say to the church in Corinth as he looks at this idea. And the first thing we want to say is that Christ is the foundation of our building. It's there in the passage that we've just read where Paul says that we can only build on one foundation, and that is Jesus. Jesus is the foundation on which everything grows. As a church, when it comes to what we do with our buildings, we have to know that we are a church founded on Christ. And we have to understand that that's more than just reading the scriptures. If anything is true, it's that Jesus was not a man who preached about the book only. He put his words and his knowledge of God into action. God was there at the beginning, the foundation of everything. And in Christ, it is the foundation of what we know to be true, that our salvation comes through Jesus. Jesus is our bedrock. We read that in verse 11. There Paul writes, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, that is Jesus Christ." We started our service building, singing about the wise man building his house upon the rock and the foolish man building his house upon the sand. And in our lives and in what we do as a church, we need to build on the rock that is Jesus. What do we build our lives on at the moment? What is it that is the foundation of your life? Where is it that you go for that bedrock? It might be family and it might be love. It might be that you're a fitness fanatic, and actually all that matters is that you keep your peak fitness and health. It might be money, that money is where you find your security. It might be a spread of all of those things. But Paul says, you know, whatever else goes on, Jesus has to be the bedrock of what we do. In our church, we have exactly the same kinds of pressures of trusting in other things. Are we a church which has the best choral tradition? Probably not. Are we a church that has the best flower displays? We have lovely flowers, and Cordelia and her team do that. But we don't fill every windowsill and everything like that. That's not the peak of our what people know us for. Is it our terrific architecture? Well, probably once we took the pews out, our ecclesiastical value went down a bit compared to perhaps some other churches around and about. Is it our vestments that we wear and the grandeur of our liturgical services? Well, again, probably not. Is it how many people we help throughout the week? Well, yes, that's important, but is that our bedrock? Paul says, Jesus Christ is our bedrock. The truth of who he is and what he is. The promises that have just been made by our baptism family, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Paul is talking about. Whatever we do as a church, we need to make sure that Christ is our foundation. Secondly, Paul says we need to understand that God is the architect of everything that we are to do. Everything that we're supposed to do, it is the Lord who builds it. We see that right from the beginning of our reading, 5 and 6 and 7. In the second half of each of those passages, of those verses, we read, "What after all is Apollos? What after all is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned." In verse 6, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow." Verse 7, "So neither one who plants nor one who waters anything, but only God who makes things grow." God is the architect. God is the one who makes the growth happen. It's only with God that things can happen in this church, and it's only through God that our lives can reach their full potential. How close then are we walking with God? How deep is your relationship with God? If we're supposed to build our lives on the truth of Christ, on his salvation that he won for us on the cross, how close are we walking with him? As a church, how close are we walking with him? I guess there are some people out there who say, well, it's all very well talking about Vision, Rob, but it was April when we had the Vision Day and nothing much has happened since. Have you been praying? Or have you just been saying, nothing much has happened since? Have you been praying about the conversations that have been taking place, about what is to happen next? Have we been drawing close to God in the midst of this? Have we been listening to the architect, trying to hear his voice in what we want to do? I wonder how many prayers have been prayed since April about our buildings. Paul says, understand that it's only a close walk with God that will help us to build Christ in our lives and Christ in our church. It's only a close walk with God that will help us build something which is significant and worthwhile and meaningful in this place. Thirdly, as we build, we have to understand that we are co-workers. Paul says to those in Corinth that he's writing to, you know, we're all assigned a task. Back at the beginning of verse 5, he says, "What are Paul and Apollos? Only servants. They are only servants." Verse 6, "One planted, one watered." We are co-workers together. Verse 9, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field and God's building." What is God calling you to do? As we've talked a bit about these vision initiatives, have you decided what you're going to be part of yet? Have you been praying about what God wants you to do? In your own lives, have you been praying about what God wants you to do, fulfilling your life as a disciple for him? Or is that not really a prayer that happens very often? We pray for other people, we pray for situations, but do we say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Give me the task that I can undertake for you, the job that is only for me. Paul doesn't say, and there are some people who are not co-workers. Paul doesn't say, there are some people who don't have a job to do for God. As we go on through 1 Corinthians, you'll see that Paul lists all the different things that we could be doing for God, all the different jobs, all the different tasks that he has for us. What is God calling you to do? What is he asking you to do? How can you make a difference? How can you increase your work for Christ to make a difference? Paul says, we are God's field and we are God's building. We are God's building. Think about that. Think about the difference it would make to the building if half the bricks weren't there. If we took out the pillars down the church, what would happen? We all know what would happen. What more could we do with more bricks? What more does God want us to do? What does God want you to do? Do we have the courage to ask him that? Do we have the courage to say, you know, Lord, I'll do whatever it is you ask me. Just ask me and I'll do it. I'll go. I'll be it for you. It's scary stuff, isn't it? It's really scary stuff. I always used to pray when I was little, God, don't make me a missionary. I really, really don't want to be a missionary. And this is where I ended up. Might have been better. I don't know. No, it wouldn't. It would have been. I actually also used to pray, God, make me a car salesman. And he never answered that one either. So this was clearly where God wanted me to be, behind a dog collar. But where is God calling you to be? The field that you're in, the people that you live with, the people that you work with, what does God want you to do there? What does he want you to say? How does he want you to preach his love, teach and show his love in that place? We're in this together. Whatever we do in this church, whatever we do with those buildings, we're in it together. We have got to stand up and say, I will be part of this. It's a huge undertaking. I've had some conversations with some people over the summer, and even just for the being able to visualize things a bit better, we've got a little model of the way the church is now and possibly some of the different changes that could happen depending on what we want to use the building for. It's a massive, massive undertaking. We're all going to need to stand up and be part of that. But once the building is changed, then we're really going to have to think about what we're going to do. We're not going to think about what we're going to do in terms of the possibilities of the building, because that's what we're going to do before we build it. But we are going to have to think about, how am I going to be involved in the mission that we've set for those buildings? One of the things that we've said right the way along is that to have a nighttime cafe that will tie in with the street pastors, so that when people have had too much, or when the music's, when the drink's got the better of them, there's somewhere for them to go and sit and take it easy. But, you know, the more I've thought about that, that just seems more and more like the most naive idea that I've ever had. People come into Beckenham for fun, not just to drink coffee. And to say to people, why don't you just go and have a coffee and sit quietly? That's not going to happen, let's be honest about it. But more and more, I think maybe the idea of having a music venue, a live music venue, on a Friday night and a Saturday night, and we could invite Christian musicians from all over South London and the South East to come, and it become a real venue where people come and they have live music. And it's not all Jesus Wants Me for a Sunbeam and singing choruses from the old days. It's real music. It's proper, good quality music. But people come and they hear and they want to go in. And it's laced with Jesus. Jesus is our foundation. And they know that they're in somewhere which is slightly different, which has a different emphasis. But it's worth going to, because the quality is good and because the setting is attractive. We are co-workers. Who will man that? Who will be part of that? Who will help at that? Will it be you? If we run a child contact centre in the new building, will it be you as one of those trusted people who a parent can leave their precious child with, and who you will oversee as they meet the other parent for whom there is a difficulty with that means they can't meet their children on their own? Will you take that responsibility on? If we have parenting courses or marriage courses, will you be somebody who wants to be involved in that? How will we be co-workers together, as Paul says we must? Fourthly, Paul says we must build with everything. When I read the passage, verse 12, where it says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their faith, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and fire will test the quality of each person's work. At first, I thought, this is one of those Bible passages where it says, don't be materialistic, don't lavish great wealth on things, because that's really not what it's about. It's about simplicity, and it's about heart, and steer away from excess. But it's not saying that. Paul is saying, spend everything. Everything at your disposal. Use everything that you have to build this temple, to build the kingdom of God, to build Christ in your life, to build Jesus in this community. Everything. So use the richest things, the most significant things, and use the most simple things, the smallest things. Don't belittle anybody's gifts or talents. Don't decry anybody's generosity. When we were little, we used to go camping at on Pathfinder camps, on youth camps. It was my holiday from when I was about 4 right through to when I was 21. And we used to go and we used to camp in proper old-fashioned ridge tents, 14 by 14 white canvas ridge tents. I think they might have started off green, actually. And then we moved on to luxury white ones and a big rubber plastic ground sheet in the bottom that wasn't attached to the sides. It was very primitive camping. And in the end, after several years, my mum, I suspect it was my mum, said, I'm not doing this anymore, Peter. Shall we buy a caravan? And we had no money at all. And in the end, I think we found one in the local paper in a neighbouring town that was for sale. And we had no money, and so we kind of had to scrimp and save to buy this caravan. And you can tell how poor we were, that for 2 weeks in the summer, this is true, for 2 weeks in the summer, my brother and I, with swimming goggles on, lay underneath our caravan with wire brushes, scrubbing the chassis of rust and then repainting it with red lead paint. None of those things you would be allowed to do now. I don't think you can even buy red lead paint. But that was for 2 weeks, so that probably explains an awful, awful lot of things that you may have noticed about me. But what I did as a child was I decided that I would play my part in helping to fund this caravan and made a little book and wrote in it the 5 P's and the 2 P's that I saved towards it. And I can remember clearly in my head it getting to at least 16 pence. I wasn't the most committed giver and I wasn't the most generous giver. But still, it was small and it was part of my contribution to the family. Build with everything. Everything that we have in our lives as Christians, in members of the church, in doing our building project, we need to build with everything that we have. You are not left out. Whoever you are, whatever you have, whatever you can bring to this, you are not excluded. Bring everything, Paul says. Bring everything and then work out how you build a building that will stand the test. What is going to be the test of our building? When we met over a month ago, one of the questions that Keith asked was, what will success look like? And I think that was on one of the other evenings that we did. But what will success look like? What will be the test of this building? It will be that people's lives are transformed. That people who have never known Jesus before will come to a living relationship with someone who can change their life. That's what we want to see. That's the test that we're going through. Will we be committed to seeing people's lives changed in Jesus? People's lives who are lonely. People who are struggling in situations and relationships. People who have made a mess of things and need to find a way back as we look at doing recovery courses for people who have addictions of all sorts of things. As we look at giving people a different experience of a night out which is just as fun, just as enjoyable, just as lively, but perhaps not quite so hammered, not quite so lost to drink or drugs. as we give people an opportunity to hear about Jesus in new ways. Will the building stand? That's what we're planning for. That's what will be tested. Our lives will be tested, Paul says. But you know, as we think about this and we think, well, that's a really tall order to ask. In 20 years' time, will it just be a white elephant on the high street? In 20 years' time, where will I be in my faith with Jesus? Paul says, but you know, we have this Jesus that our faith is built upon. We have this Jesus who died and rose again for us. And so when we are tested, we are not condemned if we don't get it quite right. We're not condemned. Paul says, if in verse 15 it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as only one escaping through the flames. Paul says, you know, you'll come out of this even if your faith is rocked. As a church, you'll come through this even if you go through difficult times or what you build isn't quite right. There are so many churches around who are waiting for the gospel to be reignited inside them again. They knew once what it was to be excited by Jesus, and it's all gone a bit lame, and it's all gone a bit fallow, and it's all gone a bit thin. Sometimes it's like that in our own walk of faith. We knew Jesus once, but that was when we were children, and it's left us a bit, and now it's time to think, shall I come back to this? Jesus says you can. He says there's always a way back. There is a way back. If you trust me, you hold on to me, you love me, I'm here for you when you come back after those dark and empty periods. And yes, he says, it's a bit like running through the flames. You'll smell of smoke. You'll be just that bit charred, but you'll be welcomed. You'll be welcomed. God does not shut the door on us until life is over and we've said to him we don't want him for that last time. But if we turn to him and say, you know, Lord, I've walked away from you. As a church, we've not done what you called us to. God says, well, come back. Come back. Be new. Be different. Be changed. Finally, in order to do all of this, we need the grace and the mercy and the Spirit of God. We need to be open to God's Holy Spirit. There it is in verse 16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? It's a tall order that we're talking about. But with the Spirit of God in it, Paul says, with the Spirit of God in our lives, we can do all things. We needn't fear what God is asking us to do. We needn't be concerned that it's a tall order. We just need to hold on to Jesus, hold on to his Spirit. Because what happens when we do that is we become the church that God wants us to be. We become the church. It's found in us. It's found in how we demonstrate Jesus. When we talk about changing our buildings down on the high street, lots of people say, you know, we need a better presence on the high street. God's presence is not found in the shape of our buildings or whether there's a front door that sits on the high street. God's presence is found in us as we take his Spirit into us and let the Spirit work. So are we going to build a church? Well, I hope we're already building a church. We're not really building a building. We're building God's mission in this place. And in order to do that, we have to have Christ as our foundation. We have to have God as the architect, as the grower, as the inspirer, as the director. We have to be ready to work together in this mission. We have to build with everything that we have, Paul says. We have to make sure we plan for a building that will answer God's call and will stand his tests. And we need to turn to Christ. We need to welcome his Spirit into our hearts. And through his grace, we need to go forward. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us such direction in your word of how to live. May we take this direction and apply it to our vision for our buildings, that we might build to your specification, that we might work together, and that your Holy Spirit might inspire and empower us to do your will. Amen.